It is never too early to do wide receiver comps and projections. Never, ever. And that's what we have for you today on Velaje Vice. He is Zach Blackerby. I'm Brad Law. And here we go. Auburn's still the number one basketball team in the country. And another coach is going to do away with a spring game. I'm telling you, this is coming.
You called this last week.
I know there's momentum.
You called this.
I think it's coming. I don't think any of them like a spring game. So anyway, we'll get into that. But first.
Yes.
Would we disagree that Auburn has a top half in the SEC wide receiver room going into the year?
I think they have a top half. Yeah. So I don't know your stance. I assume that we agree, though.
Yep, we agree on that. Could you argue? I mean, could you make a real argument? Yeah, that they have top four.
Yeah. In the SEC? Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
So you're in the top bracket of SEC wide receivers. So how does that translate? What we're going to do in this next exercise here to start the show today and to start the week is to try to project what it means for catches and yards for Auburn's receivers in 2025.
Okay.
No Jarquez Hunter. So we think running back carries are distributed differently, but I think some of those turn into passes.
Sure.
So you're going to have more opportunities. So let me just kind of talk about, let's talk first. Who do we think the number two receiver is?
Well, who was the number two receiver last year? Like, do we think it was Cam Coleman?
Last year, Cam Coleman had the second most yards. Mm-hmm. He had the third most receptions. Malcolm Simmons had 40 catches for 451. And Cam had 37 catches for 598.
Sure. So we're saying KLS was wide receiver one.
Yeah.
We're saying Cam Coleman last year was wide receiver two.
Correct.
That's what we're agreeing. Yeah.
We will agree. Well, and I'll tell you what, for the sake of this, let me just kind of combine these.
Okay.
And let me go 40 catches, because that's what your second leading receptions last year was 40.
Okay.
Second receiving yards was 598.
Mm-hmm.
Does Auburn's number two receiver in 2025 have more than or fewer than 40 catches?
More.
More than or less than 598 yards?
I think more.
That's good news.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's really good news.
I mean, unless it's just truly spread out, which could happen. And I think, like, you could argue that that's a better case, but I don't know if that's the most likely scenario. But I'm higher on Eric Singleton than most people, but I'm guessing that's your wide receiver too.
Yeah.
Because I think Cam's going to be kind of asked to do more, like we saw towards the end of the season. And I think Singleton gets more than 40 catches. And I think he get what was the yardage number?
98.
I think he gets more than 600 yards.
Yeah. Well, 40. Yeah. When you really break it down, 40 catches, that's just a little more than three a game. You would think your number two guy will have more than three catches a game on average.
What I do think is interesting is, like, you know, obviously not every target, not every reception is equal. Like Malcolm's targets were different than Cam's were. And Eric Singleton. Yeah. It kind of looks like, from a skill set standpoint, he and Malcolm are really similar to me, I think. Maybe not necessarily when it comes to usage this upcoming year, but I do wonder, like, is Eric Singleton going to try to be used like KLS? Because to me, I don't think he's KLS.
Right.
I think they're different players. So I am kind of curious to see how they both coexist, because that's going to be a big part of this.
Does the number one receiver have more than 50 catches?
What did KLS have last year?
50 catches.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not as confident in that in the other statements that we've made today. Okay. But yeah.
How about 981 yards? Because that's what he had. And we're
I think we get a 1,000 yard receiver this year.
Yeah.
I think we finally get another one.
Like, if we keep saying that, eventually
going to be right.
It's going to be right. Yeah.
Heck, 2 years ago, I thought Shane Hooks was going to get 1,000 yards. That's probably my worst take of all time.
I know. I think about it like often. In the first month of this show, we thought that was going to happen publicly.
I didn't get a whole lot of pushback when I said, so like, and people bring it up from time to time. I'm like, a lot of y'all agreed with me. So like, hold on.
Yeah.
But goodness. Yeah. No, I think that's like my worst take ever was the Shane Hooks stuff, which is a bummer. We all wanted to be right.
But. We did. We thought it was an immediate change. I don't know. I'm interested to see the number three receiver. I mean, look, your top three, 50, 40, and 37. So what, 127 catches for your top three receivers. That's before you throw to a tight end, before you throw to a running back.
So Malcolm had 40 receptions last year. You want to guess how many of those were 9 yards downfield or shorter?
26.
22. It's pretty close.
Okay. All right. So a half.
Yeah, a little more than half. KLS, of his, how many did he have? He had 50.
Yeah.
He had 24.
Really?
Yeah, 23 were 0 to 9 yards downfield. He had 17 that were 10 to 19, had a few deep, and he had one behind the line of scrimmage. But
yeah,
he kind of worked in that same ballpark. And then Cam Coleman, people say all the time, like, we only threw a deep to Cam Coleman. Like, that changed over the course of the year. Of his 37, did I do that math right?
Yep.
37. He had 21 that was 9 yards or shorter downfield.
So over half. Okay.
So that's kind of the way that they did it. And that kind of fits the whole RPO thing. True. I think they all can coexist for sure. And I do think receptions as a whole go up. Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I don't know that I'm not yet sure that one gets to 1,000. Like, I think that's where you spread it. I think it's more evenly distributed among one or two. One or two last year, one and two receivers combined for like 1580.
Yeah.
And I think that this year, if you divide that and get to 1580, and one has 900 and another has 680, I think maybe that's how it's balanced a little more, because I do think they'll be used differently. And it's surprising that many total were 9 yards or less from the line of scrimmage, but I guess it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't feel like it.
Right.
It didn't feel like it. But that, I think that was a trend that changed over the course of the season.
Yeah.
But still. I'm just kind of looking at this. Yeah, just looking at Peyton Thorne's numbers, he had 45 completions that were behind the line of scrimmage. He had 96 that were 0 to 9 yards downfield, 37 that were 10 to 19, and then 21 that were 20 or farther, which is actually pretty good. That seems actually pretty impressive. But
four a game behind the line of scrimmage. If he had 44, he played 11 games. So
sure. So yeah. Okay. 4.1 or whatever that divides out to. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So does Jackson Arnold have greater than or fewer than four per game behind the line of scrimmage?
I think they're going to make such an effort to get these receivers involved that may go up one.
Yeah. Of course, you're going to throw the running back some too, and those are going to be behind the line of scrimmage.
Sure.
But yeah. Okay. I could see that. I could see it going up.
So.
Very interested. I love projecting this stuff. I want to know what you think about it as well. It's so, like, the natural thing you want to do is go, no, these five guys are all going to have 500 yards receiving. It just doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. Because, like, talent doesn't equal production.
Right.
Like, there are so many different variables that go into production. Much like Auburn, statistically, their offense was pretty solid, but you couldn't score points. So once again, like, there are variables that impact every level of production. And some of that could be, you know, at the receiver level, it can be catches and yards. And at the, you know, the team level, it can be, you've got yards, but you don't always have points. So there's always so many different variables that impact production. My favorite thing that impacts production.
Yes.
Is going to rowback.com.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I be a better person? How can I be somebody that maybe has a little more confidence, super comfortable? Rowback.com, baby.
That's it. That's what's where you go.
What's your favorite thing at rowback.com?
The hoodies.
The performance hoodies.
The performance hoodies. Yeah. Yeah. Because you can do anything. Look, I've gone to baseball games in them. I've gone to the gym in them. I've done like the errands around town, working around the house.
Oh yeah.
In a Rowback hoodie. Sure. I've just kind of lounged on the couch in a Rowback performance hoodie.
Yeah.
And you can get any and all of them, every color you want.
Yes.
At rowback.com. Use our promo code VICE20.
VICE20
for 20% off.
That's right. That's right. Rowback.com, promo code VICE20.
Matt Rule.
Yeah, there you go.
Matt Rule, Nebraska head coach, comes out and he says that he's probably not going to have a spring game at Nebraska. It's an interesting reason why. Most people have probably seen this story over the weekend. He's saying it's because they lost so many guys to the portal after spring. So the spring game was just an exhibition for other teams to see their players.
Mm.
I don't believe that.
No. No. It's like when a company complains about turnover.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, people work here for 4 months and they leave. Everybody just wants our talent. That might be true for some of them.
Right.
But some people just may want to leave. Some people may just want to get out. And that could be working conditions.
Yeah.
It can be salary. It can be I'm not being used correctly. It can be anything. And then also can be the same for a football team or a basketball team or whatever it might be. And so to me, it's like, no, Matt Rule. You don't get to play victim here.
No.
Like maybe what you're doing internally isn't good enough.
Well, or like no coaches love the spring game, do they? What coaches out there just love capping spring practice with a spring game, going full speed, good on good, putting on camera what you like? Nobody loves that now. Just say,
Do you think people watch Auburn's A-Day game and was like, man, Cam Coleman lit it up. Let's try to tamper with Cam Coleman because A-Day.
Because of A-Day? Right. No. Right. They know.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm just sitting back. Like, I'm picturing, you know, all of these other, like, Big Ten coaches watching. Like, they're sitting in the complex eating some popcorn. Like, Nebraska's spring game. Let's see who we can get. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And if
it sounds ridiculous because it is ridiculous.
And if it's a Big Ten, it's the caramel corn and the cheese popcorn. All they're eating them together at the same time because that's what they do in Big Ten country. It's very popular up there.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a name for it, and I know it. I just can't think of it right now. But it's all
trail mix.
No, it's not trail mix.
Thoughts on what's your favorite part of trail mix?
If there's chocolate in it, the chocolate.
In trail mix?
Yeah.
Trail mix is more like the salty side, right?
No, it's not. No. If it's trail mix, it's got to be something sweet in it. I might be thinking
of Chex Mix, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. In Chex Mix, it's the rye chips.
Is that like the super dark, like crunchy chip?
Yeah.
It's like way overcooked?
Yeah, Zach. It's a super dark, crunchy thing in Chex Mix.
It's called a rye chip? Can you just buy rye chips places? Because they're delicious.
You can. You get whole bags of them. Bags. When I make homemade Chex Mix.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because it's just...
Why are you laughing at me?
Dark, crunchy thing.
Is that not what... You knew what I was talking about.
I don't know why that got to me so much. First, we went from Big Ten football coaches wanting to poach Nebraska players because it was a spring game.
I mean, it's such a ridiculous topic. I don't know how it could have stayed out there much longer.
So they're eating popcorn, to trail mix, to Chex Mix, to rye chips. Okay, good.
We're back.
What I think
at least
is
it's not tomato night. Am I right?
Right. You're always right. Yeah. Is that coaches just don't like spring games and they're going to find reasons eventually.
But there is a difference between what Matt Rhule is saying and what Hugh Freeze was hinting at last week. Freeze wants to move spring.
Right.
Which, yeah, it doesn't sound crazy. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Right.
But the whole spring game thing, like, I wonder at some point, though.
Like, you're going to have a spring practice without a game.
Sure. Right. Yeah. But there's going to be some pressure from higher-ups because it does make money. And I know not every school charges like Auburn does, which I think is ridiculous, but we're going to stay away from that right now. But it's still, they all make money for the schools. And so I do wonder, like, if Matt Rhule's like, I don't know if we're going to do this, if he gets a call from the Nebraska president or the AD or whoever makes that call, and it's like, those nice offices you have, like, we kind of need to do this.
Yeah.
We kind of need to do this. So I'm curious to see, like, how that dynamic plays out.
The athletic director there has a radio show, and he said last week that a to-be-determined event would be held on the day that they had previously announced for the spring game, possibly one that involves football and other fall sports. So what do you do? You do like a punt, pass, and kick with the, like, do you turn it into the Pro Bowl? Because, you know, we used to have a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
But then that didn't matter anymore, and it became not worth doing.
Well, you just got to be careful, though, because it counts as a practice.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, you just want to, like, at least with ADA, like, you get some tape.
Yeah.
At least you're running full speed and full speed reps.
Yeah, but other teams are coming to poach your guys that they didn't know about until the
Are you just sacrificing a practice because you're paranoid?
Sure, to make some money? You talking about for a revenue event? A Pro Bowl-esque revenue event?
But you can make you'd make more money just having a normal practice, I think, with what A Day is.
Yeah.
Or a spring game, you know, using Auburn as the example. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
What's your idea? As you watch the show today, what's your idea for a fun spring game alternative? I don't know. We'll take the best idea and let the higher-ups see it. No, we won't. Auburn is number one basketball team in the country, and they just keep on winning, Zach. They just keep on winning.
Sure. Yeah, and this kind of felt like the one they were going to lose. This one kind of felt like if they're going to lose, because the analytics are saying like they're going to lose three-ish or four-ish games, and all of a sudden it's like, are they? Are they, though? Because I really felt like that was going to be one of them if that was the case.
The Ole Miss students camped out. Okay, fine. They didn't just camp out, though. They passed out instructions for how to storm the court after the game.
Oh, I missed this.
Yep. There are pieces of paper that were in the seats in the student section that said, we're going to wait and let Auburn get off the court and then this and that and the other, and then you can storm. They gave them instructions for how to storm the floor.
Who is they? Who gave these instructions? Oh, this is wild.
I don't know if it was probably, you know, the student group.
There's no way Ole Miss did that, right?
Yeah.
There is a way.
Well, I've got, let's see, is that what this is right here? No, okay. I thought I had a copy of the instructions that were texted to me, but it's not.
Okay.
But that's what they did. There were instructions waiting on every student on how to properly storm the court. They thought they were going to end the unbeaten streak.
They lost by 10.
Lost by 10. Yeah, Auburn covered on the road.
In the SEC. The best SEC it's ever been. And Auburn's, 8-0?
Yeah. And Jani Broom put up another 20-point, 12-rebound game. Just a man. Just a grown man in the best league, in the best the SEC has ever been, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seemed like different guys stepped up at different moments whenever they had the opportunity. And it's like, so unselfish. So team first.
Miles Kelly.
Chad Baker Mazar does not care about your feelings.
No.
Tahad Pettiford will destroy you any chance that he gets.
You know, Tahad had not had a great game either, but it comes down to a couple of times. You need a couple of big buckets in the second half to stop Ole Miss's momentum. Bang.
That guy, man. That guy, I said it on the Barnes live stream last night. It's like, you know, you can't always describe it factor or X factor, you know, what makes a guy special. But it's like, whatever it is, that dude has it.
You know,
dude has it.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought this was an it factor game for the team. It was an it factor game for everybody to come back. They never let Ole Miss get the lead in the second half. I mean, every time they needed a stop, they got it and immediately came down and hit a big shot or got to the free throw line and made free throws. So it was an it factor game. And now, so now you got 10 games left. Six of them are at home. Six of your last 10 games are at home. There's all kind of data out there. Guy does these projections and runs the computer models, and there's like a 70% chance now that Auburn finishes conference play 16-2 or better. Phenomenal.
Two most likely losses or what?
It doesn't say it. It doesn't give you that.
My I'm asking you. I'm not asking the computer. I'm asking you.
My guess would
You're smarter than any computer.
That's very nice of you. You're so nice. You're such a nice guy.
Love you so much.
Yeah, likewise, especially after that. I think I'm still going to say at Kentucky.
Okay.
And at Alabama. I think it's road games.
Yeah.
So.
Somebody, I don't know, remember if it was Kyle or Daryl, they said, I think one of them, I may be misremembering, but I think one of them said at A&M, they put at A&M ahead of at Kentucky. And I hadn't really thought about that yet, but like, I don't really have a strong argument against that either.
No, I don't either, other than Auburn hasn't won at Rupp since 1990. And I know that shouldn't matter. I know this team hasn't played at Rupp, and none of that. I get kind of ticked off when others try to use that. And now I'm using it.
Well, don't use it, Brad.
Well,
pivot.
It's
pivot
tough.
Away.
It's tough. I can't. I'm not going to do it.
Got it.
I'll stick to my guns.
That's fine. You can.
Thanks.
You can. Yeah, I think they end the season with two conference losses.
I don't think you can overhype these two regular season meetings between Auburn and Alabama. I don't think it's possible to overhype them. It's going to be one versus three.
Is Auburn versus Alabama the best rivalry in college basketball right now?
Right now, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Because North Carolina has 10 losses. They're not a, I don't know that they're a tournament team.
10 losses?
Don't they?
On February 3rd, you've got 10 losses?
Can you imagine?
Who has, what number's higher? Auburn quad one wins, UNC losses.
Ooh. What a world. Well, it's by far quad one wins.
What a world we live in. Did Auburn break North Carolina? People are asking.
They were so close against Kansas, and then they were never close against Auburn. And look, it's all good teams that's beat them for the most part.
Sure,
yeah. But still, except for Stanford,
you got to beat good teams. Sorry, and North Carolina. Forest. You got to beat good teams.
Yeah.
Coaching search in the future for North Carolina?
Yep, I think so.
Who should be their first call? Brad?
What are you doing?
Who should be North Carolina's first call? Just shoot from the hip.
Around.
Who is it?
Nate Oates should be North Carolina's first call.
Wow, you think he'd take it?
Yeah, I do. North Carolina versus Alabama basketball? Are you kidding me? You think North Carolina, whoever they want to get, that is realistic to leave, okay? Mm-hmm. And I add that in because Bruce ain't going anywhere. Bruce is not going.
Right.
So a guy who might leave, who's still young enough in his career and would totally go if North Carolina anteed up like they mean it, like they mean business, like they see what John Shire is going to continue to do at Duke and they actually want to fight back.
Which I didn't like that, the John Shire hire.
I was curious about
it. I didn't love it. And I'm like, oh, okay. They knew what they were doing. They're fine. Yeah, that'd be wild. It'd be wild if North Carolina called Nate Oates. It'd be crazy.
I wonder what a North Carolina...
I don't think he'd take it.
You don't think he'd take it?
I think he's already done the hard part. He's done the building. Be different if they didn't make it to a Final Four last year, but it's like, oh, he can do it. Like, he can do it here. Or where he's at. So,
okay.
We'll see. We'll see.
I think if North Carolina really ponies up what they're capable of ponying up.
Yeah.
That's a top five job in college basketball.
So this was a crazy weekend in sports, from the Luka Doncic trade to college basketball being just totally unhinged.
Yeah, top two home court streaks in college basketball came to an end on the same day. Yeah,
but Brad's favorite moment from the weekend was his favorite wrestler, Jey Uso, winning the Royal Rumble. And I just want to say congratulations to you and all of you Jey Uso truthers out there. I'm sure you were yeeting all over the place.
Yeah.
So congratulations to you, Bradlaugh.
Yeah, I had to get a mop and a bucket afterwards. It was just so much. I you know, the fact that they were yeeting, because it's close to yakking, you understand? So,
okay. Got it.
The fact that folks were yeeting with every punch that he was throwing at the end, it just, come on. Come on. Once it got down two to Jey Uso and John Cena, well, they're not letting Cena win the Royal Rumble. Get out of here. Yeah, it was.
They eliminated like a lot of people like within like 10 seconds. And I'm like, okay, wow. And then it was Jey Uso, John Cena, and then Logan Paul. And it's like,
yeah,
he's not going to let Logan Paul win it.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, I started to put my chin on my chest and go, well, here it comes. It's going to be a yeeting overload.
There's a lot of yeeting.
I mean, a lot of over yeeting.
Nice.
Unfortunately.
Nice.
So it will make for an interesting, not interesting. It'll make for a Raw that I have to kind of grip my teeth through a little bit tonight.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I guess he's going after Gunther yeah. again to get the belt. I guess that's what they're building up for WrestleMania. Is that what's
sure.
happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though we just saw that match and Gunther beat him. But
yeah, it's like, why didn't they just give him the belt then?
Got to build to WrestleMania. It's the whole point.
It's just nobody's asking for that.
No, I didn't think so either. I didn't think. See, I thought it was finished. After
it's this
match.
Wild divide of like, oh, they got it right versus like, I can't believe they did this. Like, there's no in between, right. Which is probably the goal for WWE. But yeah. It's just, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy stuff. Go.
A Monday Village Vice Royal Rumble review. A little extra for everybody. How about that?
That was my first Royal Rumble that I've watched live. I've seen. Since getting into this, I have gone back and watched a few like highlights or whatever, but I was a little underwhelmed. I wasn't like blown away by it. I like what happens on Monday nights better than what I saw Saturday night. So
okay,
take that for what it's worth.
Are you talking about the Royal Rumble match standalone or the entire event?
Royal Rumble match standalone. I expected a little bit more, and there were moments where it's like, oh, this is about to get really good, and then like they went away from it because somebody else ran in. I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah.
All right. The title match, the ladder match with Cody Rhodes and who did he
Kevin
fight?
Owens.
Kevin Owens. That was the best part. That was great.
Yeah,
that was
I awesome. Agree. It was better than the Rumble match for sure.
That was awesome.
Cody's excellent. Cody's legitimately, I mean, he's excellent.
Yeah, he's great.
All
they've made him the face. Him and Roman Reigns seem to be kind of the face right now. And I get it. I get it. So, okay. I think that does it for today's show.
It does. Go to thebarnauburn.com, sign up now, get 25% or $25, not 25%, $25 off the annual subscription. You'll be glad that you did.
Yes.
And remember, until next time, everyone's got vices. Everybody got vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.